You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Joined on this Thursday morning at 7:06, like I will be every Thursday, by meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Madison, Greg Bach at Radio Park. Nice to have you all along on this Thursday morning. Coming up yet this hour, we will be talking to Sarah Godlewski, the Wisconsin Secretary of State, who is going to be making a run for a leadership position in the Wisconsin Democratic Party, part of a whole generational change of leadership happening there with Ben Wickler stepping down. Then in our next hour, we have a guest who wants to talk about Robert Kennedy's offensive comments about autism and people with autism. And we'll also be getting an update from Joe Zepecki on his run for state Democratic Party chair. We had William Garcia on yesterday, one of the other candidates, and Devin Remicker, the other candidate for state party chair, will be on at 8:30 tomorrow morning. Temperatures around the state right now at 7 o'clock, not much different than in our last hour. It is 48 here on Lake Wissota, still 29 in Hayward, 42 in Amory, 47 in Wausau where Chad is, 51 in Rapids, La Crosse 54, Green Bay 52, Madison 55, Milwaukee 58. Before we get to Chad and Wausau about things that are happening there, let's find out from Brittany first, not only the NFL draft weather for tonight in Green Bay, well, what's up with Hayward being at 29?
I know.
Gotta get him out of the 20s.
Defend yourself.
Yeah. Come on, Hayward. Lift yourself up, you know?
Seriously. Well, you know what? 70s spread so far north yesterday. I was pretty happy to see them all the way up to the UP and stuff. So they got some warmth yesterday. Mm-hmm. But of course, they did fall a little cold tonight. We've got a huge spread of temperatures, not only this morning from the upper 20s to the upper 50s, but today, up north is going to be into those 40s, and we're going to potentially see some low 80s down south today. So a big spread of temperatures across the state. We're also looking at a low pressure system trying to hurry up and get its way to the draft. Go figure. It's the worst timing possible. Mother Nature's first round pick is to bring some scattered showers and rain to the draft. Now, what we're looking at is as a system moves in, we are looking at some more scattered showers starting to spark up this afternoon. They could be anywhere in the state, but a lot of the heavy, steady rain rolls into the northwestern parts of the state pretty much this evening. It spreads into the northern half for the evening, and then overnight, it's going to start to fill into some of the southern areas and into the Fox Valley. So that rain is going to start into Green Bay and Titletown pretty much tomorrow morning through about noon is when it wants to wind down. And I'm looking at the heaviest rain kind of falling between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. And it's also going to be just a raw, blustery, kind of crummy, dreary day there. We're looking at rain, you know, going on in the morning. Windy conditions all throughout the day. Gusts out of the north up to 30 miles per hour, keeping our high temperatures tomorrow to about 50 degrees. So you put wind chills on top of that. People out there towards Lambeau are going to be feeling more like the 40s. So it's going to be cold tomorrow in terms of what we've been used to yesterday, of course. Then we start to warm things up and clear things out by night. Tomorrow night, we'll start to see clearer skies, tons of sunshine on Saturday, high temperatures at about 60 degrees. And then Sunday, a little bit warmer into the mid 60s with that sunshine hanging on. But it's a wet system. We're looking at a good quarter of an inch widespread of rain and maybe an inch all the way from Minneapolis to the UP.
And so ends any affiliation between Brittany Merlot and the Green Bay Convention and Visitors Bureau based on the weather tonight.
According to her shirt, she's a big fan of Een Bay. I don't know what that
Een
is.
Bay. Oh, never mind. The hair. Green, there we go. Sorry. Green okay. Bay. Yep, she is ready for the conditions here. Chad, how about you? Do you pay much attention on NFL draft night?
Yes and no, but I know a couple of folks that are going over there. In fact, person I'm going to have coming up here in just a few minutes on my segment will be heading over there, going to get a little intel on that, and I got a good friend that's heading over as well. But I'll watch for the, you know, for the draft information. But I really was not somebody that has a great interest in heading on over there and standing in the rain and enjoying that. In fact, for many years, I haven't. People would try to say, "Hey, come on over! I got a ticket. We can go to see the game." I'd rather stay home.
That's all right. I mean, look, there are only a couple hundred thousand people that want to do differently, and that's okay. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy, 47 degrees. We got a tenth of an inch of rain. Many farmers were busy doing field work. The grass is greening out nicely. We're about a week or so away from mowing. While I was in the Wittenberg area looking at mowing jobs, there was definitely higher traffic along 29 heading toward Green Bay for the NFL draft festivities. And we were talking about Georgia having its own state song from Ray Charles in our last segment. And Rob says, if Wisconsin had an official state song, it would have to be a polka, since Wisconsin has the official state dance with polka. Tony asks on YouTube, yeah, where is Wisconsin's classic song? Georgia has one. West Virginia. Those aren't even cool states. So, again, I guess we have to find... That'll work. Yes. Wipeout. The polka version.
This is totally works. Harry Kosick and the Red River Boys playing Wipeout from Milwaukee. They're from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
It has to be Roll Out the Barrel. I mean, come on.
All right, yeah. Chad, you know what, Chad? Hey, yep. Chad, just roll with it, all right, would you?
Oh, roll with it. I like
thank
that.
You, Steve Winwood.
Yes, exactly. So Chad will continue to be covering some of the stories happening around Wausau, as will Brittany. And we mentioned yesterday that as part of the new show here, some of our stations will cut away a couple times an hour so that they can have some of their local news and stories as well. Chad, I have to think that one of the things you're continuing to talk about would be how Wausau Mayor Doug Diddy, who is being looked at by their local ethics board for moving that absentee ballot drop box, is now wanting to make new appointments to the ethics board, putting some Republican buddies on there, just as they're taking a look at him. And I don't think that's going to fly, right?
No, but it's still a power play. And I think one of the aspects that has to be looked at as well, not just the idea that he has put out these four names to move on to the board. And of course, to be honest with you, two of the names I am not familiar with. I have no idea whether they're left, right, or center. But two of them are well known for many years, I mean, decades in this community, Deb Hadley and Kevin Hermaning, and both very far right in terms of their political leanings. That doesn't mean, I mean, it's not on itself disqualifying, but at the same time, I think the timing of it with another meeting coming up next week in terms of the ethics committee and the process continuing. I've talked to folks around here, and there's a sense that the people that are actually signing their names to the complaint, because it starts with citizens who say, hey, this was not right. Mm-hmm. They're nervous about going forward, that it's much like what we see nationally, that there are people that don't want to put their neck out on the line in order to have this mayor who is not afraid to throw a few elbows and show that he feels as though he's got the power within this community. It's I think beyond anything, it's a bit of a power play.
Do you remember when people were saying, oh, you know, Katie Rosenberg is too progressive. We need somebody that can appeal to everybody, can be more of a, you know, uniter and not a divider. And have we not just taken the divisiveness and ramped it up to a whole new level with the partisanship that's been injected into this mayor's office at this point? I mean, it has brought so much attention to Wausau that it frankly doesn't deserve. And now you have these ethics board members whose terms are expiring, at the end of this month, right?
Yeah.
They get to stay on until the city council appoints their successors, whether it's the mayor's, you know, wishes or not. And you'd think Republicans would be good with that, since they were good with Fred Prenn staying on the State Natural Resources Board after his term expired, right?
I found it so ironic that when I started my program, when Civic Media started here in Wausau and I came on the air, one of the first big stories was Fred Prenn, Wausau dentist, gun shop owner at one time as well, refusing to leave. And make that was the right thing to do then. Now it's not quite the right thing to do, but you know that it, and you're exactly right. I mean, you go back. I mean, it's hard to believe the term for Doug Dinney just began a year ago. It feels like it's been a lot longer than that.
But what a year it's been.
He talked about, you know, Mayor Rosenberg, stay in your lane. That was one of the things that talked about, stay in your lane. He was just going to be coming to do the job, you know, instead of being out there talking about some of these other issues that they feel like you shouldn't be talking about, because, you know, that's not the way that the mayor should be running the office. And it's become this where they put their finger in everything. And again, it just comes across as he doesn't feel like there's any guardrails. His lane is as wide as it wants to be.
Oh,
it's very interesting to see how rhetoric at one point changes once you actually get behind the desk.
It's do whatever you want. I've noticed an uptick in, again, continued public activity calling out their members of Congress for essentially just rolling over and letting Donald Trump do whatever he wants. There was a demonstration, I believe, in Wausau yesterday. I saw some photos on Facebook from people basically saying Tom Tiffany is missing in action. There's one tonight in South Milwaukee called Where's Brian Style? And so State Senator Chris Larson and Representative Chris Sinicki will be in South Milwaukee this evening at the City Hall starting at 5:30. Yes, Mr. Bach.
We actually had Sean Fetta Place from Main Street Alliance on yesterday, and they said the 2 days before they had a rally where they invited Derek Van Orden up in the third. It was in La Crosse, and there was over 300 people there. Mark Pocan showed up, talked to the people. Bernie Sanders called into the event, and they were on with him. But Derek Van Orden nowhere to be found.
Really?
Yeah.
He
was too busy yelling at youngsters about the capriciousness of youth.
and yelling at me for eating too much. But you had Nancy Stensel, Marathon County Democratic Party chair, on recently too. And again, those folks are staying active, and I think they're finding more people who are looking at that story from yesterday, for example, that the FDA has had to lay off so many people, they can't do safety inspections of milk. Safety inspections of milk, Chad.
And again, I mean, and I would encourage folks to check out my blog posting on Representative Tiffany from yesterday, because while yesterday those folks wanted to talk to him, they had their event here in Wausau at Tom Tiffany's Wausau office at the very same time during the day. Later in the day, Tom Tiffany did have time to go over to the Wausau Chamber of Commerce office, which is just down the road here, and answer questions from those who have the political and financial might within this community. Had time to answer their questions, but don't have time to answer the questions of average constituents. And there's another 7th District town hall with an empty chair coming up tonight here in Wausau, where they've invited Tom Tiffany to come and speak and answer questions. But again, he is unavailable.
There are three groups of people that a congressman can or a legislator can decide if they want to see or not. And Congressman Tiffany's chosen two out of three, the ones with connections and cash, if you can, you know, pay for a ticket to go to a county Republican Party dinner, and then constituents. It's connections, cash, and constituents, and we see where folks are falling down on that. In sports, the Brewers lost in San Francisco 4-2. They will wrap up that series this afternoon. 2:10 is when the pregame gets started on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Head over to the Civic Media website to learn more. Chad, Brittany, thank you so much for the updates from Northern and Central Wisconsin. Appreciate that very much. When we still ahead in the program today is what he meant to say. We will be talking to Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. And in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk about Robert Kennedy Jr.'s insane comments on autism and get a visit from Joe Zepecki. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Back now on this Thursday morning, April 24th, just about 7:23 the time right now. If you missed it last hour, Greg and I played a cut from President Trump from 5 years ago today, where Lysol had to issue a public advisory not to ingest its products after President Trump, not believed to have won a Nobel Prize in medicine, wondered out loud during a press conference if disinfectants could be injected into people. 5 years later, it still makes me laugh, and it shouldn't, but it does, because this is what we had. That was 5 years ago today. 4 years ago today, and I know this because I checked through our Up North News daily newsletter. Did you know you could sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com? I know you did. Anyway, 4 years ago today in our daily newsletter, both Senator Ron Johnson and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss come under fire for criticizing the effort to get the COVID vaccine to everyone. Now, again, Greg, check the record. I look on Wikipedia. I don't believe Ron Johnson or Robin Voss won a Nobel Prize in medicine either. Pretty
no.
Sure. He's actually clicking on the keyboards. I love it.
No, he's, let's see. And he's just gotten very, very rich in his position. He's advocated for the vaccine injured, Pat.
Yes, the vaccine injured. It didn't stop both Johnson and Voss from speculating that only high-risk individuals should be vaccinated when it was already crystal clear that COVID had killed many, many people who didn't fit whatever definition of high risk they were using. There were still so many people painting with a broad brush over there saying, well, if we just like let all the grandmas die, you know, the rest of us will be okay.
Oh my God, mentality. They said that. Yeah. They were like, yeah, just it's okay, you know, like let go.
Yep. 3 years ago today, this is a fun little memory. 3 years ago today, Connecticut businessman Tim Michaels filed paperwork to run for governor of Wisconsin. He was arriving late to a crowded Republican primary field, but he had enough personal wealth to beat back challengers like former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clefish, Kevin Nicholson, and then State Representative Tim Ramthan. And he would win the primary and go on to lose to Governor Tony Evers. And it's another one of those cases where, look, if you lose an election, again, you don't owe anybody anything. You can go back to your regular life, whatever you're doing. Nobody's going to fault you for it. I'm just saying some of us will notice it. Mm-hmm. That, you know, if you couldn't get the big chair, if you couldn't get the big job, you know, you just walk away. I lasted a term in the legislature. I ran a campaign for Congress, fell short. And yet here I am, not to toot my own horn. I'm just saying I'm still here talking politics, trying to help people, you know, sort through the issues, make good choices. Some people hang around and do that. Others, not so much. So, Tim, whether you're back at your Connecticut mansion or your place on Park Avenue in New York, I hope life's gone well. Not what you expected 4 years ago, but, you know, 3 years ago, I should say. But there you go.
Yeah. I just find it funny that we now are getting a history of millionaires and billionaires who are just walking in the state. Now we got this new guy from New Berlin, I guess, who's like, you know what? I can be governor too. Why not? It's I'm bored with being successful. Just give me my thing.
Coming back to what Trump said about disinfectant and things, it just occurred to me, and I'm looking up the post on the Up North News social feeds. Here it is. This was an actual post from the White House 2 days ago on Earth Day. The White House, it's on its fancy, you know, looking press website, and it says, on Earth Day. Could you cue up the laugh track? Do you have one?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. All I have is evil laugh. Do you keep talking? I'll find you a laugh track.
Oh, it's okay. It's a very short headline. I just love it, though. From the White House, on Earth Day, we finally have a president who follows science. And as Christina Laurie put it in a post at Up North News, that is a real post. That's not The Onion. That is an actual post. Let's count the ways he hasn't in just the past couple of months. Removed the U.S. from the Paris Climate Agreement for the second time, I hasten to add. He has advanced logging in national forests, expanded mining and the use of coal, rolled back dozens of environmental regulations aimed at protecting the environment, has laid off hundreds of employees at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and removed mentions of a changing climate from all government websites. And did I mention again that the FDA has had to suspend milk quality tests? That one's still just get, you know, it's not that I would ever want to go back to the days of, you know, when Upton Sinclair wrote The Jungle. I just want to say history has a way of repeating itself for people that don't learn the lessons the first time. And if you've never read The Jungle, do yourself a favor. But honestly, prepare to get lightheaded. Maybe, I mean, when I first read it as a kid, you know, middle school, something like that. I mean,
middle
I want
school?
To pass. Yes.
Oh, that's a
I wanted. What?
Oh, no, it's a heavy duty book. That's why.
It's a heavy book. It's a heavy book for somebody who was like 13 or 14. We had a teacher recommend it. And
there you go.
I mean, it's a heavy read. But folks, that's exactly, folks, I'm serious here. Folks, this is what Donald Trump and all the others would take us back to, is when they would add, I don't think it was chalk, but they added something to the milk, even if it was spoiled, to make it look white and healthy. And you go, nobody would do that. Are you kidding me? To make a buck, what people would do to products like milk and other things that we simply took for granted to increase, you know, shareholder price and profits, and we're cutting 20,000 people from the Department of Health and Human Services? Just wanted you to know. Just wanted you to know what's going on. Sarah Godlewski coming up here. Welcome to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. That's me. I'm Pat Kreitlow, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. This late ad from Robin Tigerton could be because we played a polka version of Wipeout earlier, and he reminds us Wipeout was the theme song for the old Dan Devine show back in the early 1970s when he was the coach of the Green Bay Packers. I appreciate that little musical interlude there from you, Rob, and from Roger and Stevens Point on Facebook. From my Facebook memories, 5 years ago today, Harold Reed, the bass singer and comedian from the multi-award-winning group the Statler Brothers, passed away. I was fortunate to see them on stage when I was in high school. Thank you, Roger, for passing that along. And again, as always, you can share your notes with us. Just head over to Facebook or YouTube. Put something in the comment section there. We may see it and put it up on screen. Or you can text the show as well through the Civic Media app or through this phone number, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Did you know there is a new weekend edition of the newsletters we put out here at Up North News? Not just the Monday through Friday one that Christina Laurie puts together, but now one that you can get on Sunday mornings that comes from me. It is a week in review of Wisconsin political stories. So head over to upnorthnewswi.com to learn more. I sense that one of these weekends, stories about Wisconsin politics might involve our next guest, Sarah Godlewski, Wisconsin's Secretary of State, who joins us now. And we're going to talk a bit about the changes in the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, the state convention that's coming up, and you know what kind of role she wants to play in the next generation of leadership. Madam Secretary, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning, Pat. It is great to be with you today.
Yes. We've talked about the Secretary of State duties, obviously your role as state treasurer prior to that. We now know that Ben Wickler is stepping down as state Democratic Party chair. Yesterday, you made public an announcement of what you might like to do once Democrats gather in Wisconsin Dells coming up in just under 2 months to talk about where leadership goes from here. What is it that you hope to do in the next chapter of Democratic Party leadership?
Well, I announced yesterday that I plan to announced running for vice chair of the party here in Wisconsin. And the thing to note about this, Pat, is that I can stay as Secretary of State. Historically, the first vice chair has been an elected official. And it's not something that I thought that I would do, but the last month I've been traveling the state between listening sessions for the governor's budget to empty town halls that we've been doing where congressional members haven't been showing up. And to me, it's really clear that we need to meet people where they are and listen and communicate our message better. And so I think in this role, this is something that as vice chair of the party, I can work with communities, work with our elected officials to help do that in this era of Trump, who is just destroying this country, and we've got to fight back.
The other thing to keep in mind about the vice chair role is that the chair of the party is, again, not some kind of a king or queen. There's an executive committee, essentially, that works with the party. The vice chair is part of it. I was part of it briefly as chair of the County Chairs Association, representing all of the county parties. And so can you tell folks a bit more about it, the collaborative process that's involved? Yes, we put a lot of stock in who is the state chair of the Democratic or Republican Party, but, you know, to borrow a phrase, it takes a village.
Well said. And that's what I think is so great about our party structure is that we have 72 counties, and collectively, Democrats can come and be members to go to convention that will be in June, and they then vote for the chair, the vice chair, the secretary, or the second vice chair, the secretary, and the treasurer. And so you have a say and a voice in this process. So I, you know, when I look at it, I just think there's a lot of opportunities where we can be working together. And I'm really, really excited to be doing more of that.
Yeah. And again, it's one of these things that's voted on by delegates who come from county parties, you know, across Wisconsin, and yes, other members of it who will be gathering at that point. And it is, as the candidates for chair have talked about, there's kind of this mixed bag here for Democrats right now. Obviously, folks are riding high after the election of Justice-elect Crawford to the state Supreme Court. But it's also a state that went narrowly for Donald Trump in two out of the past three elections, and did not have any turnover in the congressional delegation. So clearly there's work to be done. We've shown in April, you know, what progressive messaging can do. Everybody is trying to have some kind of a prescription for the Democratic Party. In fact, next week, we're going to talk again to Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich, who put together an essay on where he thinks the Democratic Party needs to go from here. So I just wanted to give you a chance to riff a bit on that subject of, in light of both the Trump victory and the Crawford victory, where you think Wisconsin Democrats overall need to go, where the Democratic Party needs to go in this state.
Well, I think for starters, the Democratic Party has to be everywhere. We've got to show up in communities across our state and talk about, when we govern, what that looks like. Because right now, people are living in this constant fear of chaos. I mean, whether it's the farmer that I was talking to in Western Wisconsin, where he is constantly concerned about these tariffs. He just lost his funding for farm equipment that he was relying on, and he's not sure how he's going to make his mortgage. To veterans that I was talking to in Northeastern Wisconsin, who have seen thousands of veteran employees who support the services that they receive after serving this country. To, you know, Wisconsinites who are working hard every single day, and they're seeing a billionaire who is manipulating what democracy looks like in our country and in our state. And so I think when we show up and listen to folks, we have real opportunities to be providing our messages. I mean, look, like, I was talking to a group of school teachers recently who were sharing their concerns about how the Trump administration is cutting the Department of Education. Wisconsin has been founded on public education. It's something that we're incredibly proud of. And now we're going to be losing critical funding, like for Head Start and programs that are helping some of our most vulnerable. And we need to let them know why. I mean, This is because of Donald Trump or the Republicans in our state legislature, and we deserve better.
From the Facebook page from Ardith here, so glad to see Sarah Godlewski running for a position again. I think she's an organized candidate who can help put this state together again. Good luck, Sarah, writes Ardith. And now, thanks, you know, Ardith, from being a you know, a Chippewa Valley native, that one of the best games to play is bash the Madison Party. Because obviously the folks in the Chippewa Valley, folks up north, northeast Wisconsin, everybody wants to have a voice. William Garcia talked about it yesterday in his interview, making sure that the state party listens to everybody and isn't just trying to squeeze a few extra votes out of the Madison-Milwaukee area. And I think that's going to be a perpetual topic. There's always a way you can do a little bit more in greater Wisconsin. You've certainly seen that from the Chippewa Valley. So as a vice chair, what perspective would you bring to make sure that the folks in Madison always have a border-to-border view of the tasks ahead of them?
Well, I think part of that goes to, you know, I am a proud fifth-generation Western Wisconsinite, whether my, you know, my parents are retired public school teachers, to the, you know, growing up there, I feel like that perspective matters. But it's also about, while I might be here in Madison today, I'm always constantly on the road, Pat. Like, I'm on the road all the time, whether it's in Cross Plains or in the Chippewa Valley or in the Fox Valley to being in Ashland and Superior, listening to folks and showing up, because I think for so long people think that, you know, what happens in Madison is just stays in Madison. And what we've got to do is make sure that we are the party of the entire state, because I will tell you, what affects people in the Chippewa Valley and in the Fox Valley are also affecting people in Dane County. And whether that is, for example, access to Medicare and Medicaid, to their public schools, to we know, like, childcare. I mean, that's affecting rural communities just as it's affecting urban communities. And parents need places for their kids to go. They want quality, affordable care. And so I think that there is a lot more that unites us than divides us. And what we need to be able to do is, I mean, the Trump administration is already dividing us, and we need to make sure that we are really emphasizing that time and time again, as we are seeing, you know, the chaos that is really hurting our communities.
Yes, and we'll have more to say about Medicaid expansion, not just overall, but extending care to postpartum care to women from 60 days to 12 months after delivery. Again, it passed overwhelmingly in the state Senate. Robin Voss is still going to hold it up in the Assembly. Maybe there's a way around it. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski running for vice chair at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin at their state convention coming up in June. Sarah, always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for the update. Safe travels to you.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
All right. Have a great day. So about that Medicaid expansion, I learned something while doing a little reading around, because we keep talking about how it's Wisconsin and Arkansas are the only two states that have not yet accepted the federal funds that would extend postpartum coverage to new moms to 12 months. And some folks were saying, well, Arkansas is about to pass it. Well, it turns out the bill to do that passed overwhelmingly in the Arkansas House of Representatives, but it came up for a vote in a Senate committee about 2 weeks ago, and it was rejected in there. So Arkansas and Wisconsin are both actually in pretty much the same boat here, where one chamber of their legislature has approved it overwhelmingly, said this is a slam dunk. What are we even talking about here? And somebody or some people in the other chamber still taking the extremist view that new moms do not deserve stable and affordable health care coverage for that critical time, which goes well beyond 60 days after giving birth. So for the moment, it looks like Wisconsin and Arkansas will not have that postpartum expansion. But there is still time to reach out to your state assembly rep and or to Speaker Voss directly and to urge them to make this happen. But I was also very intrigued by something that I heard from at least one Democratic legislator yesterday, who said there's also going to be this push on Republicans because so many Republicans are co-sponsors of this Medicaid postpartum expansion bill, is to say, forget about it in the bill, put it into the state budget. If it's in the state budget bill, Robin Voss can't stop it. Robin Voss can stop a single bill from coming up for a vote. He controls the calendar of when the state assembly will vote on things, but a state budget bill has to pass. And all the Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee are in favor of this postpartum extension for new moms. So if they would simply decide in the Joint Finance Committee to put it in the state budget bill, Robin Voss can't strip it out. Coming up in our next hour, we are going to have a discussion about autism. We've got a guest who took, shall we say, great offense at what Robert Kennedy Jr. had to say about people with autism. And we're also going to talk to Joe Zepecki, who is running for state party chair and who joins us on Thursdays to talk a bit more about some of the headlines in Wisconsin politics. We continue to talk about the news every morning here up north live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, 7:52 on this Thursday morning, April 24th. Nice to have you along. You know, Civic Media has more than these news talk stations, whether you're maybe out on a run, doing some errands, whatever. There's an entire lineup of music stations as well. For example, here in the Chippewa Valley, we love that people hear this show and all the great talk programs at 93.5 The Tap. But you can also head over to 105.7 WCFW and hear all kinds of music from the 80s, 90s, and more. Maybe you're more of a country fan. There's 98Q Country up in Park Falls, 105.5 WIRI in Wisconsin Rapids. Say that again, Pat. 105.5 WIRI in Wisconsin Rapids, WRCO in Richland Center, 95.7 St. Croix Country, and you can listen to all of it in the free Civic Media app. There's even real oldies of the 60s and 70s on WRJN in Racine. I believe Greg Bach can hear that station because it's played right across the hallway.
Oh, I'm looking at Don Rosen. He is doing his show. The legendary Don Rosen is doing wonderful. He's got a great, fun music show. Plays comedy bits, interviews local people here in Racine. Yeah, it's a great time. Get the Civic Media app and listen to us wherever. You can. We had people listening to us in Vienna, in New Zealand, in Paris. Wow. Take my goal, and I want to make this a thing. I want to make this a thing. Make it the best app ever. Sorry. I want someone on the International Space Station to listen to us.
It's good to have goals.
I have a goal. That's a goal.
That is a worthy goal. So all you astronauts listening in Florida, you got to take us up with you sometime. So again, all kinds of music stations that you can check it out at civicmedia.us to learn more. Tomorrow we will talk to Mark Jacob as usual as part of our Week in Review panel, but I did want to call your attention to his weekly column at his newsletter. You'll find it at stopthepresses.news. Again, stopthepresses.news. And we try to do the same with Jennifer Scholze as well with her Indistinct Chatter newsletter. But I just grabbed Mark's here, and the headline this week is Five Ways Major Media Can Seek Redemption. It's getting late, but there's still time to repair some of the damage. And if you've listened to Mark on Fridays, you know that whether it's Trump defying the courts, whether it's Trump extorting universities and law firms, whether it's federal agents grabbing people off the street and jailing some of them for exercising their First Amendment's rights, this is a dictatorship in progress. And why won't mainstream media say more? Why are they continuing to both sides some of these stories, or sane-wash them, it's other often called? What's with the, as he puts it, the cheap fascination with Trump's supposed entertainment skills? Mark notes that the press has a duty to warn us when there are threats, not only to our lives, but also to our health, to our safety, and to our democracy. And Mark notes that if our democracy goes down, legacy news outlets will be a key reason why. And again, people say, you are overreacting. This is hyperbole. I would note again that the things that Donald Trump is doing, he should not be able to do. All of these cuts are funds that were authorized by Congress to be spent. And yet he's going around doing this. Congress could stop him if they wanted to say, hey, that's not your role. But when Congress simply rolls over and does whatever a leader wants, that's authoritarianism. And the same goes for a lot of the executive orders that he's put forward. And now you have a Supreme Court with justices that may let him do whatever he wants, whether it's legal or not. This is not hyperbole. So Mark has that advice for media outlets. Number one is say it directly. Trump is overthrowing democracy. Lose the weasel wording, as he puts it. For example, there's the phrase that he has a maximalist view of his powers. Well, that's just a way of saying he's an authoritarian. The Washington Post referred to Trump's ever-shifting relationship with the Constitution. Those are weasel words, and we should not be falling for it. Number two, he says, is cover the mass protests as major news. In some outlets, you'd have a hard time learning that there were hundreds or in some cases thousands of people in the streets. You see it covered in other nations where you have embattled governments, but not as much here. Number three is to treat the White House briefings as the travesty they are. Caroline Leavitt is a serial liar, and yet not nearly enough is said in mainstream media when those lies are told. Number four is show how Trump's cuts are hurting people. Now, we are seeing some of that, but he thinks there's room to do more. For example, talk to the victim of a credit card scam who ended up getting a refund because of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which Trump is now gutting. Or highlight a school that's thriving because of Head Start. Head Start has now been targeted by Trump for extinction. In other words, do more to put a human face on the story. And then five, emphasize that fascism is bad for the economy. Again, Trump unilaterally doing trade wars by tariffs rather than working with Congress to design a trade policy is a sign of authoritarianism, and we see how well it has worked out so far for the U.S. economy. So again, those are all in Mark Jacobs' newsletter. Jennifer Schulze's newsletter, Indistinct Chatter, does talk about the ways that local media are doing an increasingly better job of putting a human face on the Trump presidency to this point. But it's our goal here in bringing this up that you too would know about the things that are happening, expect better of the other news outlets that are out there, and get the kind of coverage more in line with the actual threats to democracy. Coming up after the news, we're going to talk about Robert Kennedy Jr.'s comments on autism. Remember, you can follow my team at Up North News all day long through our newsletters, social media, our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and of course, right here, mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlaw.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.